Start your day at the Torah Way, Northwest London, Sunday, 9th of Iyar, 30th of April. Rabbi Mordechai Weiss, Shlita. Got the first word. Secret to Salvation, Part 2. This week's Torah Way has been sponsored anonymously.
Good morning, everyone. So first of all, as usual, I'd like to take the opportunity to thank Reb Dudi and Josh for all the organizers for this, giving me this opportunity to be a part of Start Today the Torah Way. It's a special honor, it's a special privilege, even though I say it every single time, but each time I mean it seriously. And Hashem should help that we should be zoicha to do this for many, many more years to come. This week's parasha, Parashas Emor, there's a lot to talk about. Originally, I was given a topic to talk about the coronation. I was meant to speak towards the end of the week, but since I was they pushed me off for Sunday, or rather they made it earlier for what? They rescheduled it for Sunday, so I didn't have enough time to prepare that topic. So I will talk about a different topic, which is essentially slightly a continuation of the previous one, but it's not, as no, you could listen to this one on its own. And the title is The Secret to Salvation, Part 2. It's a very important topic, and it's very much connected to this week's Pash. So this week's Pash, the Pash is Emor, we have all the Moyadim, which is all the Yomim Tovim, all the Jewish festivals. The Pash goes through each and every one of them. And one of them, of course, is the Sfiras Oime, which is the days that we're up to now, the days between Pesach and Shavuos. It's called Sfiras Oime, the counting of the Oime. And I think that it's quite relevant. I think it's very appropriate that we should speak about this pasuk. This pasuk, Sfaratim lechem imachlas Shabbos sheva shabusos tamim, this you should count 49 days. And, of course, it means literally you count the 49 days. That's what we do every single night. We count the first day, second day, third day, and so on. But of course, there is a deeper meaning, and there is something that we could take out, a lesson that we could take out for our lives from the counting of the Oimer. What is this teaching us? Of course, everything that's mentioned in the Torah is there for us to apply to our own life in a practical way. So perhaps we'll try and take out some practical lesson from the mitzvah of Sfiras Ha'omer. There's a very, very famous medrash. The medrash says on the pasuk of Sheva Shabusois Temimois Tiyenu, 7 weeks and it should be complete, full weeks. Temimois, it should be complete, it should be full. 7 full weeks, Temimois Tiyenu. The medrash asks a question, Aymasahem Temimois, how is it possible to make sure that these 7 weeks should be complete? Zuk the medrash, Bizman She'oisem Retzoinoi Shalmoke. If the person, literally, simply meaning, if the person does what Hashem wants him to do, Retzoinoi Shalmoke, Mokem, that's the Rebbeinu Shalom, if the person utilizes these 7 weeks to do what Hashem wants him to do, then these 7 weeks will be 7 complete weeks. That's a simple translation, the simple meaning of this medrash. I'd like to perhaps give a slightly different approach to this medrash, and something that we could use in our practically in our lives. I'd like also to be more on the kid that the medrash uses the name of the Ribbono Shel Olam, Bizman She'oisem Retzoinoi Shel Mokoy. Now we know that Hashem has many, many names. The Shem Havaye, he has the Shem Elikim, the Shem Shakai, has many, many different names. One of the names of Hashem is the name Mokoy. Why did the Medrash use this specific description of Hashem? Bizman she'oisim retzoinoi shel mokim. Why did the Medrash use this title of Hashem in order to explain how to make Sheva Shabusos Temimus? There must be some sort of connection. There is a famous Lushan of Ohr Chaim HaKodesh. Ohr Chaim HaKodesh says the following Lushan. He says, it's in Parashas Vayigash. He says, Same di yasire kabile. Which means, literally speaking, the medicine, the sum, the tree for the medicine, the cure for any type of aggravation a person is going through, any type of incident the person is going through, is Kabila. Kabila means to accept it with love. That is the medicine, that is the cure for any type of salvation a person is waiting for. This is the cure. But the question is, of course, there's a mitzvah that a person should be, everything that a person goes through, a person should be makabel, should accept it with love. But why is that the cure? That is the that is something which is essential in order to receive the cure, to receive the salvation. The person has to first go through that step of accepting it with love. Why? What's the connection? And then, of course, you have to understand the simple meaning. What does it mean to be makabel bi'ahave? A person has to be makabel, the yesid must accept upon himself all the aggravation with love. What does that mean? What does that mean? The simple meaning of it. We all know, it's not a secret, that every person throughout his life goes through some challenges, whether it should be physical challenges, whether it should be spiritual, emotional challenges. Almost every single person goes through some sort of challenge, whether small or whether big. Many, and probably most of them, don't affect us in a terrible way, and the person could continue on in life without being too much affected and too much scarred by the challenge. But there are, unfortunately, sometimes when the person goes through, chalila v'chas, God forbid, challenges which are slightly more challenging, to the effect that it does leave a scar. It does leave a scar, which would be called in our days a trauma. The person goes through, rahmullah al-islam, a trauma. And the trauma, that is something that could affect, I'm sure we may have some people who are psychiatrists, therapists, maybe Abdudi will be able to explain, but there are perhaps other people, there's something called a trauma. Now, a trauma. A person goes through a trauma, and that is something which could chalila v'chas scar the person. Now, just to explain, I'll first explain it probably in a very simple meaning, to understand it in a simple way, and then we'll slightly explain this in a slightly deeper way. In a simple way, it means as follows. If a person, God forbid, when he was a child, or perhaps in his younger years, went through some sort of challenge, or perhaps some sort of abuse, then he, God forbid, yeah, then he will start viewing himself as a victim. He is a victim. Or he will view himself as a failure. Or he will view himself as a misfortune. He will view himself as someone who is scarred, someone who is a broken object, to the point that in his mind, this is the way he views himself. So when it comes to continuing on in life, he won't have the confidence to be successful, because in his eyes, he already views himself as someone who is a failure. How could I be successful when I failed? And I've failed so many times in the past, I simply cannot succeed in life. Or God forbid, if he went through any type of challenge, then he views himself as someone who is in Yiddish it's called a nebuch. Yeah? A nebuch means someone who is, you know, he's a nebuch. Someone who is a misfortune. So how could I be successful in life when he's a misfortune? And that affects his way of thinking, and it affects his way of being productive in life, to the point that it really scars him. It really affects his future life. And that's something which is a very, very important thing to get rid of. Because if a person wants to proceed in life, and wants to go on and be productive in life, that is something he has to work on. And that's why we have very, very good therapists and very good psychiatrists out there who do a terrific, terrific job. I'll explain this in a slightly deeper way, which is brought down Sifra Mekabulim. What happens? What happens is as follows. A person goes, chalul v'chas, God forbid, through a trauma, and he views himself in a negative way, he is now a failure, then what happens is he surrounds himself with the energy that's coming from a negative place, with a negative energy, because he's viewing himself as something negative, as something which is a failure, something which is a misfortune. And what that does is, the Svarim, it says that chalila v'chas, if a person surrounds himself with this negative energy, it attracts negativity to him. It attracts that he is now being sustained from a negative place, which chalila v'chas in turn could make it continue chalila v'chas. And unfortunately, I think in the Goyisha world, it's proven that statistics have shown that someone who was a victim once, the chances go up that he should be a victim again, even though there doesn't seem to be any connection. Why? Because he was a victim once. And the reason, perhaps, is for this reason, because the person now, he views himself as a victim, then he now has surrounded himself with the energy of negativity, which attracts chalila v'chas that he should continue being a victim. And that is something which is extremely, extremely important to get rid of. The Aitze, the way, one of the solutions is, and that's the solution which we find in the Torah, is to change our outlook on what went on and that challenge. It's important for the person to look into his past and see whatever challenge he has gone through and view it with a completely different lens. And the Chovas Avuvas says that the lens is as follows. The person has to remember that whatever happened was not a result of his misfortune. It was not a result of someone else's bad behavior. It was a result of what the Ribbono Shel Olam chose for him. The Ribbono Shel Olam chose for him this particular incident that it should happen to this person. This particular failure, this particular challenge, Ribbono Shel Olam chose it for him. Now, that's not enough. It's not enough to remember that. There's another four things a person has to remember, says the Chovas Avuvas. The person has to remember four things. Number one, the person has to remember is who the Ribbono Shel Olam is. He has to remember that the Ribbono Shel Olam is the biggest Rachman in the world. He is the most compassionate being in the world. He's the most compassionate, merciful father in the world. If you will take all the compassion and all the mercy that there is in the entire universe, all the compassion and mercy that a mother has to a little baby, to a little child, take every single, all of that, put it together in one place. It's not even a drop in the sea of the compassion of the Rachmunus that the Ribbono Shel Olam, our great loving father, has to every single individual. That is the first thing the person has to remember. The second thing the person has to remember, says the Chovas Avuvas, is the goodness of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Chastoy v'tivoy, his chesed, the goodness that the Ribbono Shel Olam bestows upon every single one of us, every single moment of our lives, regardless of whether we're worthy for it or not. The Ribbono Shel Olam constantly gives us and gives us and gives us from his goodness, for no reason whatsoever. That is the second thing, chastoy. And then remember the chachmusoy, the wisdom of the Ribbono Shel Olam, that it goes beyond. There's no one that knows the person better than the one who created him. The creator of the person knows the person the best. He knows what's best for the person in this world, and he knows what's best for the person in the world to come. He knows what's best for this person in order to achieve his mission in life. He knows what's best for this person in all the way around. He takes everything into account. And with his intimate wisdom, he has chosen this particular incident to happen to this person. And the fourth thing the person has to remember is the Hashkechusa, which means his protection of the Ribbono Shel Olam, is protecting us 24/7. There's a surveillance camera which goes along with us every single moment of our day. If you're going to take the biggest type of protection in the world, take all the security guards in the world, take all the secret services in the world, take all of them and put it all together in one go, there's no one that protects us as much as the Ribbono Shel Olam every single moment of our life, every single second of our life. Hinai le'yunem v'lo yishon shoymar yisrul. The Ribbono Shel Olam protects us every single moment. A person should remember this is the Ribbono Shel Olam that we're talking. It is this Ribbono Shel Olam who has the biggest Rachmunus in the world, the biggest chesed in the world, the biggest protection, and the biggest chachmah. He is the one who chose us. Which basically means as follows. That if you would take someone who has infinite Rachmunus, and he will try and choose for you what's best in your life. Now add to that someone who has the most chesed, the biggest chesed in the world, and he will choose for you what's the best in your life. And take someone who has the most chachmah, the most wisdom in the world, who he will choose for you what's the best in your life. And take someone who has the biggest protection, and add all those four ingredients together, the result will be exactly what happened to you. Exactly what happened is a result of those four things, which means that whatever challenge you went through is not a result of your misfortune, it's not a result of your mistakes that you have done, it's not a result of what other people's bad choices in life. No, it's not a result of that. It's a result of the choice that the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Chovas Avuvas says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu yivchar lo yatov. The Ribbono Shel Olam chooses for every individual the best for him, even more than the person could even choose himself. It's a result of these four things. Of Ahanoga, it's a result of someone who chose it from a place. It's coming from a place of compassion, it's coming from a place of goodness, it's coming from a place of wisdom, it's coming from a place of protection. That was the result. The final result of those four things together, 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 = 4. These four ingredients together, the result of that was exactly that challenge that you have gone through in your life. If the person does that, Pastor Jibik, we're going to be slightly in time and a little bit tight in time, so could we afterwards keep the questions for later, or is it an important question to...
I do accept what you say, but the person who traumatized you, who affected you, who ill-treated you, is also acting with free will.
100%, and he will get his punishment. There's no question he will get his treatment that he has to get. There's no question that a person who makes bad choices in life will get punished for it.
But your direction of your talk is that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is telling him to ill-treat you.
Oh, so we're going to get, that's a very, very excellent question. It's an excellent, excellent question, and it's an important question, and we will get, and perhaps after that I will speak to you about this question. It's a very, very good question. Coming back to our town, the kid, if the person changes his view of what went on, then now he no longer views himself as a victim. He no longer views himself as a failure. He views himself as someone who's a recipient of these four beautiful things. He is a recipient of the compassion, of the goodness, of the kindness of the Ribbono Shel Olam, of the wisdom, and of the protection of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That is the inyan of Kabbalah Sisirim Be'ahave. That he accepted with love means that he understands, not that he understands what's going on, but he understands that whoever chose it for him, whoever chose this challenge for him, it was coming from a place of goodness, of compassion, of wisdom, and of protection, not from a place of negativity. Now what happens is that he is now surrounding himself, instead of surrounding himself with a negative energy, he is now surrounding himself with a positive energy. And that is why the Rechaim HaKodesh says this is so important when it comes for a person who's waiting for salvation. It is extremely important. Why? Because as long as the person views himself as a neber, he views himself as a victim, he views himself as a failure, it's very, very difficult for Ribbono Shel Olam to send the salvation, because the salvation cannot stick to him. He is now surrounding himself with a negative energy. As soon as he changed his view of this whole thing, and he's now surrounding himself with a positive energy, and he views it with a positive look, then now he has created a vessel that now the salvation of the Ribbono Shel Olam could now come upon him, and now he could be zeichet to the salvation. Says the Chaim HaKodesh, Same, the tree for the cure, the medicine for every type of salvation a person is waiting for is Kabila, to accept it with love, because now he has now changed his look on the whole thing as in a look, in a way, in a view, a positive view, which now in turn creates a vessel for the salvation to come. Medrash says, why is the Ribbono Shel Olam called Mukim? Mukim. Why is it called Ritzoyin Hashem Mukim? Why is the name Mukim? Zuk the Medrash. Because it's not the Pshat, it's not the world is the place of the Ribbono Shel Olam. The translation of the word Mukim means place. You shouldn't think that the world is the place of the dwelling of the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's the other way around. The Ribbono Shel Olam is the Mekoyim Shel Olam, which means he is the place of the world. Now, I think I'll just try and explain this in simple terms. What this means is as follows. Mukim, a place, is something which by default holds the fellow who is standing on it. Yet every single person is now sitting in a place. There's no one who is in no place. Everyone is sitting in a certain place. Now, it's the place which is holding him. It's the place which is protecting him. Because if he is in a house, then this place is protecting him. If not for the place, he would have fallen straight through. He would have ended up, I don't know where. So he needs a place to hold him. The translation of place is something, the definition of a place is something which protects and something which sustains and something which holds the individual which is inside of him. Says the Medrash, you should not think that the Olam, the world, is the place of the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's the dwelling place of the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's the other way around. The Ribbono Shel Olam is the place of the world. The Ribbono Shel Olam, he is the one who is holding up the whole world. He is the one who is sustaining the whole world. He is the one who is protecting the whole world. He is the one who is keeping us alive every single second. The Ribbono Shel Olam, he is the Mekoymoi Shel Olam. He is the place of the world. He is the one who is holding up the whole world. The word, the name Mokoim, that shows, that defines these things that we mentioned before. That to understand who the Ribbono Shel Olam is, the Ribbono Shel Olam is the most compassionate being. The Ribbono Shel Olam is the most goodness. He's the one who protects us every single moment of our life. That is the word Mokoim. And we find that we use the word, the name Mokoim we use, God forbid if a person goes to be Menachem, someone else is a mukim in achameschem. Hamukim yemalach esroinchu. When someone has, he loses money, you tell him that hamukim should refill your gap that you lost. Use the word. Why do we use the translation of mukim? Because mukim, that brings out this point that it's coming from a compassionate place. It's coming from a good place of goodness rather than the other way around. Ribbono Shel Olam, he is the mukim. Every single time when a person looks through his life and looks at all the past things that have happened to him, all the past challenges, and he views it with a positive life, he is now essentially what he's doing is, he's doing Ritzoynoi Shalmukim. He's Oysim Ritzoynoi Shalmukim. He's now bringing out the fact that whatever happened was a result of the Ritzoyn, of the choice of the Mukim, of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, who he is the most compassionate being. He's now Oysim Ritzoynoi Shalmukim. He now changed his view of whatever happened, and instead of looking at it with a negative view, he now understands that this is coming from a place of Ritzoynoi Shalmukim. This is the Ritzoyn, this is the want, this is the choice of the Mukim, who he is the most compassionate being, and it's coming from a place of goodness. He is the one that chose this particular challenge for this particular person. So that means Ritzoynoi Shalmukim. Klal Yisrael came out of Mitzrayim. They went through a trauma which no other nation has gone through. You could try and think whether the trauma of the Holocaust was bigger or smaller. It definitely wasn't much less than the trauma of the Holocaust. Klal Yisrael went through unimaginable torture, what they went through. They took the little babies that were taken out of their hands and built into the walls of the buildings. The little babies were thrown into the water. They were tortured day in, humiliated day in and day out. All of a sudden, this whole nation is now going to come out of Mitzrayim. They have to be Mekabel the Torah. How is it possible for a nation that has gone through so much to cure themselves from this trauma? They would have needed at least 600,000 therapists, 600,000 psychiatrists to try and help them overcome this trauma. What was the solution? So the Rebbeinu Shel Olam told them, I want you to count the days. Count 49 days. Now, I want you to count 49 complete days. Instead of looking back on your life and saying, that day was a failure, that year in my life was a failure, that's not counted. Whatever I went through, that I'm going to delete that from my dictionary. That never happened. No, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam says, I want you to have complete days. I want you to take every single challenge you went through in your life and instead start viewing it with a positive look. Be oisim retzoyne shemukim. Start viewing it with a positive look and utilize that day. It's impossible to count the second day without counting the first day. And in fact, we pass in aloha, if a person missed out one of the 49 days, he could no longer continue counting with the bracha because he's missed. You need the entire 49 days. And the word counting by default means that you are building on your past. You're adding on 1 + 1 = 2. The first day you say Hayom Rishon, the second day Hayom Shani. You have to count, you have to mention the previous days in order to continue counting. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam wanted us to go through 49 days of counting. 49 days where we are going to look back at our history, we are going to look back at our past, and we're going to say, I'm going to count every single day. Not even one day is going to get lost. I'm going to count every single day. Zug the Medrash, that Sheva Shabusas Tamimus, it should be complete 7 weeks. I'm a Sahem Tamimus. When could he have a complete 49 days? There's only one way to do that. Bizman Shaoisim Ritzoynoi Shalmukim. If you are going to look back at every single challenge that you went through in your life and you are going to say, this was the Ritzoynoi, this was a result of Mokoim, of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, of all compassionate Rebbeinu Shel Olam, of his infinite chesed, of his infinite wisdom, of his infinite protection, then these are going to be 49 complete days. And this is something that every single person could apply to his own life. And that's something which is going to bring all the salvations that the person needs. It's only going to be a result if he's going to be Oysim Ritzoynoi Shalmukim. Finish off with the story that happened to me personally. It's not a dramatic incident, it's not a dramatic story, but sometimes if you say a personal account, it's something which could bring out the point. It was about a year ago, and I was traveling to America for a chasna. Now, ever since COVID, the system has been completely off track. The lines in the airport are completely, you can't imagine what goes on there. And they didn't tell us in advance. I was used to, you have to go at least two hours in advance in order to make the flight. So it was a flight, I think it was a 9 o'clock, 9:30 flight. I tried to make sure to be there for 7:30. So I was there for 7:30, it was an early flight. I had to make the chasna that night. It was one of those airlines, which I don't know if I'll say it in public, but if anyone who wants could come to me afterwards and I'll tell you the name of the airline. Not one of those airlines which are known for their good service and not known for their love for Jews and anyway, so I get to the till and this long line all the way down, you could imagine, and we're standing there, and of course the clock is ticking and it's getting closer and closer to the time of the flight. So we're almost about an hour and a quarter before the flight. And what they usually do is that they come, and if they see anyone who's got a flight which is coming up, then they call them out in order to come to the front of the line, because they know otherwise they're going to miss the flight. That's what they almost always do. So of course, there's this woman comes over and says, is anyone here waiting for the 9:30 flight to JFK? And So a few people pick up their hands. Of course, I also pick up my hand. So she starts calling out this person, that person, that person, that person. And when it comes to me, he says, you wait. Okay, so I waited. I had myself, my wife, and had a child I took along with me. The baby also, I can't remember. And so it's taking, the clock is taking, so of course they're all standing in the front of the line, they go through, and I go to this woman, I said, you know, my flight is coming up, and I've got this 9:30 flight, and it's almost my turn. This woman says, we know exactly where you are, we know where you're standing, if we want to call you, then we will call you, stay exactly where you are, and we will call you when we have to call you. Okay, nothing we could do, so I stood on the line, and of course, it's getting closer and closer. Finally, 3/4 hour before the flight, they said, okay, you could come to the front of the line. Which wasn't the front, there was still another 4 people in front of me. By the time I got to the line, sir, it's very, very late, you have missed your flight. Okay, so there I am standing, missed my flight, all the other people who have easily have gone onto the flight, I have now missed my flight. So I said, could you perhaps put me onto the next flight? So I said, yeah, we could put you on, let me see, it's all fully booked, tonight 10 o'clock that we have a flight that you could sell tonight. I said, no thanks, I've got a wedding tonight 10 o'clock, it's not going to help me to go on the 10 o'clock flight. That's all we have for you. I'm very sorry. You came late to the airport. This is what you deserve. There's nothing we could do to help you. So, of course, it's a big hit. And my first initial reaction was, I'm going to fight it. I'm going to make a big commotion. I don't know what I'll do. Then I thought to myself, one second. Was it this anti-Semite who caused this whole thing to happen? Absolutely not. This was a choice that was chosen by the Ribbono Shel Olam himself, the most compassionate. It's coming from a place of compassion, from a place of goodness, from a place of protection, and from a place of wisdom, so it's all for my benefit. So there's no point in fighting them. I'll try and do what I could do. Quickly try to look online. There's nothing. There's no other flights available. Every single flight is fully booked. There's nothing you could do. So I could either fight, I could either go home. I'll try one more thing. I called up my travel agent, the one who booked me my ticket, and said, "This is the problem. Do you have anything that you could do to help me?" So he says, "I can't believe that you called me." I said, "Why not?" So let me tell you something very interesting that happened. He said, when you asked me to book your ticket, originally I had booked your ticket on one of the better airlines, which is known to be a good airline. I can't remember whether it was British, American, it was a good airline, which cost a little bit more than a little bit more, but it was well worth it because you get what you pay for. But then I decided, you know what, since this flight is going to be a lot more cheaper, I'll rebook you on the cheaper flight, and I'll cancel the better airline, okay? Now, the way it goes is, up until 24 hours before the flight, you could still cancel the flight. So your flight was, I think this flight was meant to be 12 o'clock. It says, yesterday, I called up a minute past 12. I called up, I want to cancel the booking that I canceled for them on the better airline. They said, you have missed it by a minute. You have missed the cancellation by a minute. You could no longer cancel the ticket. You have to keep that booking. So he felt so bad. He didn't want to tell me that he has kept my booking, which means I will have to pay now for 2 flights. So he didn't tell me anything. He says, you know that you're lucky. You know that how lucky you are. You still have a full 3 places waiting for you on the flight, which is leaving in another half an hour. I mean, you can make another hour, which means it gives you enough time to go there. It says you can't begin to imagine the difference. It was in a different terminal. It was in Terminal 5. We went to the other terminal. They treated us like human beings. They treated us with mention. We got there. It was an almost empty flight. We had a place there. We were able to sleep. We had our meals. Everything waiting for us. And it was, you can't begin to imagine. Now, when we got there, we heard other people went on that flight. Of course, it was cramped. It was the original flight that we were going to go on. They had turbulence from when they left until when they landed. They had turbulence the entire way. Now I thought to myself, let's just think for a moment. If I would have tried to fight, I would have lost both the money from both my tickets. I would have never made it to the wedding, which of course is bad. And I wouldn't have gained anything. This way, I ended up with a very, very pleasant flight. A good 3 good meals, which by the way, just to mention, all the other meals in the original flight never turned up for some reason. I ended up having all my meals. There was a beautiful, comfortable flight all the way there. I managed to get back my money for the other flight because, of course, since it wasn't my fault, so they reimbursed me, and they also reimbursed me for extra for the aggravation that I went through. So I managed to get back all the money from that, and I managed to get the whole thing turned out. I managed to make the wedding in time, which, of course, was the most important. That was the lesson. You try and fight the system. You try and think and going into negativity. It was these anti-Semites. It was them that caused this, and it was this. It caused that. No. There's someone in control. I'm standing at the top. There's a pilot which is running the flight, and the pilot knows what they're doing. This is the lesson the person has to take upon in life. Whenever, God forbid, the person person should never go through any challenges. But if Chalila v'chassid happened, then this is the four things. Remember these four ingredients, and with that, Be'ezus Hashem will be zoicher to a happy, lechtige life, and we'll be all bezoicher bekurev mamash to be as Mashiach tzedkaini b'mhayru b'mayni umayni.
For the arrangement of the question. This is already in Stoke, you know? This is even now in Stoke. I bet you should tell me, but you make fun of it.